The Epiphany window of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, the fourth window of the devotional series entitled His Word in Glass. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you feel like you're in the midst of a time warp of some kind? What day of the week is it? Is this still April or is it May? What's the date today? Have you found yourself more frequently asking those questions than you did perhaps a couple of months ago? I have. If you have, we're not alone. It's a common phenomenon in these times, especially times such as these. In fact, it has a name. It's called temporal disorientation. Dr. E. Allison Holman of the University of California in Irvine describes it this way. She writes, "People lose track of time when the future is in question. The continuity from the past to the future is gone. That's what we're experiencing," she says, "right now, temporal disorientation." Disorientation of any kind comes, of course, as one of the many negative consequences of mankind's sin. Disorientation happens when the continuity from the past to the future is gone, and then comes fear, the child of disorientation. Isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? In the most consequential act of defiance in human history, Adam and Eve sinned against God. They lost their connection to the future, and they experienced fear for the first time, and so they tried to hide themselves from God. Tragically, time eternal had, at warp speed, become time temporal. And they into whom the breath of life had first been breathed by God would die, and they would return unto the dust from whence they had come. They had sinfully lost track of eternal time and could only have it restored through the seed promised to them in the fullness of time, the Savior who would restore life, time eternal, to them. There's but one who, during earth's sojourn, never lost track of his time, but one for whom the future was never in question, but one for whom the continuity between the past and the future was never lost, not even for a single moment, but one who, despite the most momentous event in the history of the world occurring, namely that God had become man in order to offer himself as the one-time sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, but one who never lost sight of the purpose for which he had come into this world, that one, despite all of the sins of all of us, never lost sight of your sin, never lost sight of my sins, which he was born to assume unto himself and to die for. That one never lost sight of you, and he never lost sight of your salvation. The salvation which was, as we heard in the consideration of the Advent window, prophesied of old. The salvation which became enfleshed in the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, who became man in order to save man from his sin, as we heard about in the Nativity window last Thursday. The Savior who performed a myriad of miracles in order to make his identity known to the world that he had come to save. The first of those recorded miracles being the miracle at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, which you see pictured here today in the Epiphany window. Epiphany, coming from the Greek word epiphanein, meaning reveal. Here, God in flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, was revealing himself as the God-man Savior of all the world. What a miracle it was. In fact, what a time-warped miracle it was. Time-warped in the sense that what would normally take months to happen, namely the converting of the juice of grapes into wine, happened instantaneously. Instantaneously at the word of Jesus, who changed not the juice of grapes into wine, but changed ordinary water into extraordinary wine of celebration instantaneously. See it happening in our faceted glass window? It's there in all of its splendid glory, artistically portrayed in the Epiphany window that you're looking at. Notice the figure of Jesus standing in the center of the window, his right hand extended in the posture of command, and he's commanding that which went forth from him to change water into wine, the light blue of his garment moves from him through the garment of the servant that he commanded to pour water into the vessel which would be served to the attendees at the feast. Ordinary water, which at his word would be changed into the best of wine instantaneously at time warp speed. See it happening in the glass, the blue water flowing from the servant's vessel becoming purple wine, and the best of wine abundant, as it flows so bountifully into the larger vessel, the one of many that would be receiving it. Can't you see the divine flow from the Savior through the servant pouring the water, that because of the word of the Savior becomes the best wine ever served to man, the best until our Lord sat at table with his disciples and said of another vessel of wine, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Oh, how I long to receive that miracle wine again. The sacred wine in which, as time itself is warped, is the very blood of my Lord Jesus Christ, which is, as the old church father Ignatius said, the medicine of immortality for this sin-sickened body and soul. Keep me, Lord. Keep me safe unto that day when I can once again receive the body and the precious blood of the Lord who changed ordinary water into extraordinary wine at the wedding feast of Cana in Galilee, where St. John said he first manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. What a comfort for us to know in these days when for us it's so easy to lose track of time, that our Lord Jesus has never and will never lose track of us. Have a good day, a good life, a great and a timeless eternity in him. Amen. Come join in Cana's feast, where Christ is honored guest. He welcomes all who come to taste the wine his hands have blessed. The old wine now is gone from jars that stand apart. No longer can it satisfy the yearning, thirsting heart. But Christ, the Word made flesh, bids water turn to wine. He fills our empty cups again with grace and truth divine. Come, friends, and share the feast. Here drink the wine supplied by him who is both guest and host, for us the crucified. For now he lives and reigns through all eternity, with Father, Spirit, three in one, the glorious Trinity.